about the topic of Bikur Cholim, of visiting the sick. And what I named this year is the top 8 crucial matters to remember, which might surprise you, regarding the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, of visiting the sick. Sounds good. Sounds interesting. Sounds fun. But most likely you'll probably already know 6 out of 8, but it's a good review, and maybe we'll learn something new together. And we'll learn B'Shem Kol Yisrael, for the sake of the whole Jewish people, especially the soldiers, all of us, Am Yisrael, our Torah should be a protection for them and for us. Alright, so number 8 is Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, can actually physically help people, can actually save people's lives. Okay? And I'm not making this concept up. I'm going to tell you a Gemara, and I'm going to tell you a story, because I like stories. Stories are the best. Okay? And if you guys have any stories or personal experiences, I'd love to also hear it. First, so the Gemara in the Dorim, Daf Lamed Tes, says the following. Amar Rabbi Acha, Baruch Hanina. Kol ha-mevaker chole, notel echad mi-shishim b'tzara. If you visit a sick person, you take away 1/60th of their sickness. Okay? Now, what do you guys think? What does it mean, 1/60th of their sickness?
I mean, you can distract them from whatever it is. Even if it's just like temporary.
So on a psychological level, you know, you distract them from whatever pain they're feeling. And by the way, that psychological element can have a physiological effect, because our brains are interwoven. So if you're depressed and sad, it will actually have a negative physical effect on you. And if you're in a happier mood, that will actually change your physiology. So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'm curious why Dafka 1/60th is a number chosen. So, I don't know. I might posit that it doesn't necessarily mean to be taken literally. 60th is often used, like sleep is considered by the Gemara 1/60th of death, which means it's a taste, it's an aspect of it. So 1/60th might be code word for a little bit of it. Although the Gemara seems to take it a little more literally than that later in the Gemara, but that's how I'm reading it. In any case. And Rav Dimi said, literally, when you visit a sick person, you're helping him come alive. You're giving him life, literally. And then it goes on to tell a story about Rabbi Akiva, where he actually considers it saving someone's life by visiting a sick person. Yeah. You guys want some water? Thirsty?
Excuse me. Here I am in a loving kindness kabura,
and
I'm
not even giving you all cups. Where's my manners?
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So now I want to tell a story, because it's always good to start off with stories. So have you all read the book Holy Brother?
Oh, I've read parts of it.
So you should. In my opinion, it's a must-read. Mamish changed my life.
What's it
about? It's a biography of Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach. And I've read a lot of Gadol stories. It's the best. Mamish, the most inspiring biography book I've ever read. So I'll quote a story from Yehuda Halberstam's Holy Brother. So in 1973, Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach was asked to visit the wounded and sick soldiers in the Yom Kippur War. He was going around doing concerts and just going from hospital to hospital. There was one particular room which the nurses kept skipping. Shlomo asked why, and the nurses responded that it was a hopeless situation. The man had been a vegetable for years. Shlomo immediately walked into the room and started playing soft guitar melodies for the man. Suddenly, out of nowhere, the man started blinking and reacting to the music. The nurses rushed in to see the miracle. Not too long afterwards, the man made a full recovery.
Oh.
Wow. Wow. Kavata, man. So this time he literally saved this person's life by not forgetting that Jew and every person can't, every person was a diamond, as the Lubavitch Rebbe used to say, and Rosh Lomo echoed that sentiment. He cared about him, and he actually literally saved his life. Amazing story. Yeah. I love that story. A similar story from another one of my favorite, that's my Gadol story section on the top row. So there's Holy Brother, and then there's Rav Arye Levine, a tzaddik in our time.
I know.
You like that?
I love stories about him.
Yeah. He's an amazing person too, and his street is actually down the block, not too far away. Mm-hmm. It's Rav Arye.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's a story about how he saved someone's life through his loving bikocholim. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam SheHakol Ne'ev Dvaro. So once an instructor's child was sick, and the teacher and his wife were staying up every night to care for their child. Rav Arye and his wife came to visit, telling them to go to sleep, as Rav Arye and his wife had to talk over something very important away from their home. And basically, so that was just one story of him like making up an excuse to go visit the boy, and he ended up nursing the boy until both him and his family, you know, ended up being getting better. Baruch Hashem. Another time, there was a boy named Alex, whom the doctors had despaired of. One night, Rav Arye came to visit, and in the morning, the child was on his way to recovery, to the doctor's amazement. Another time, once Rav Arye used the Goral Hagra, that's basically where you flip back and forth in the Tanakh in this passed down tradition of the Vilna Gaon. I actually have a book about it, the Blue Book, but it doesn't matter. To one of his students who was deathly ill and worrying himself to death. The paragraph he pointed to was, "Behold, it's from Yirmiyahu, I will add 15 years to your days." Rav Arye told him he'd live 15 more years. And indeed, that's exactly how many more years he lived. 15 more years after he read that in the Bible. So those are three stories. There's one coming up in a little bit of literally people's lives being saved through loving, compassionate Bikur Cholim. So, pretty cool. Okay, you guys got number one. Bikur Cholim can actually save lives. At the end, there's going to be a test. Okay? You have to remember all eight.
In order.
And if you don't pass, you don't get dessert. Okay. All right, number two. We'll write it on the board later. And this is kind of connected to number one. But when you visit, you need to do it with love and empathy. Again, I didn't expect to blow you away with this. It's not so much new information, but important to stress it nonetheless. I myself have made this mistake. At times, I've had people in my lives who kind of guilted me into visit them. It was an old man who I loved, but he was a Holocaust survivor. Nobody really visited him, and he would like call me all the time. And there'd be times that I would go out of guilt, and I really wasn't in a good mood when I went to visit him, and he could immediately sense it, and it was just a negative experience for everyone. Whereas when I went in with love and in a jolly mood, it was so much better. So, I don't know, have any of you ever had an experience similar when, like, when you came in with a bad mood, it was bad? Think about it.
I'm sure it happened.
Yeah, I'm sure. So we'll tell a story about Rav Arye Levine. Some more stories. Rav Arye Levine would visit the sick every Friday. First, he would speak to the nurses to see which visitors had which patients had no visitors. Then he would linger with these people, caressing their hands and giving them words of encouragement. On Rosh Chodesh, he would go to the leper's hospital. He took on new relatives. I mean, he would pretend like they were his relatives so that guards wouldn't hit the lepers. And he would bring his family presents. Because they knew that if they were of Arye Levine's family, then they would treat them with more respect and love. He would read Chumash and Rashi with them. That's also what I used to learn with my friend. And he would come on Rosh Hashanah and blow the shofar for them. Once word got out to Rav Aryeh that a certain extremely pious and kind widow, Rivka Weiss, was deathly sick. He went straight to the hospital wing and screamed out to Hashem, "The woman is a poor widow trying to raise her children. How can you sentence her to lose her life? Be merciful and compassionate." And so he continued for a half hour, oblivious to all who walked past. Now, an hour passed and Rivka Weiss opened her eyes. And then she asked for water and some food. The next day saw her slow but steady recovery to complete health, to the amazement of the physicians who attended her. There's no medical explanation for her return to health. Someone asked Rav Aryeh, "What's your secret?" He said, "I just listen to them patiently. I reveal a touch of empathy, share their troubles, and sick people sense it, and they respond." And that was his magic. That's how he was able to cure people who the doctors had given up on and the nurses had given up on, crazy people, really physically ill people. That was his magic. A little bit of empathy, a little bit of love.
When nobody's listening to you, and you have all this turmoil and all this worry and psoriasis and everything going on, and nobody's listening, it stays inside, and it eats at you. And if it has a soft place to land, an absorbent place, where somebody is absorbing that, you can help them rid it. You can help them rid that out of their body.
Totally. It's so important. Yeah. That's one of my most amazing qualities, my brother. I have one brother, Sammy, and he's just an amazing listener. I'll just come, kvetch with whatever's on my mind. At the end of it, he'll maybe offer a tiny little bit of advice, but I pretty much have already solved my problem because I spoke it out, right. You know, and I could see that he cares. That makes such a big difference.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. It's funny. Last night I had a funny scenario where somebody came over and he said he wanted to work on Shiduchim. So I said, "Great, I'll make time for you. It'll take a few minutes. And, you know, I'll try to brainstorm with you if I have know anyone. It was a sweetheart. He came over. He literally spoke for like 45 minutes about his whole life story. And a part of me was like, "That's great. This is interesting, but like, what does this have to do with Shiduchim? You know, like, just tell me where you're at right now." And like, but obviously, I knew deep inside that he didn't just need. He wanted a friend. He wanted someone to listen. He wanted someone to care. So, I tried. He said I was a good listener at the end. So, I tried my best. Anyway, so yeah, it's so important. It's so important. So, thank you guys for listening to me in that case. All right. So, again, number one we said is.
It
can save lives. And number two is, but it needs to be done with
empathy
and love. On the flip side, there was a Hasidic Rebbe. A Chassid once came in and kind of went in and out. And the Rebbe said, "I'm not your chefzacho mitzvah." What does that mean? "I'm not your object for mitzvah. I'm not your like tefillin. You wrap it in, you take it off, and you're done." You know, people feel like if you're just being yoitzezach and going in, going out. Sometimes that's okay. You know, they don't want it. Or nichum avelum sometimes. You come in, you say hello, you go by. It's just the act of saying, like, you know, "I'm with you." But other times people want to feel like, you know, you genuinely care. You're not just getting a mitzvah. Yeah. So yeah. That's important to bear in mind. Okay. Number three. And this one, I think, actually will surprise some people. They don't know this. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Yoredeya Simin Shin Lamed Hei, which is the Simin which talks about the laws of visiting the sick. The Rama writes, "Kol shebiker velo bikesh alav rachamim lo kiem hamitzvah." If you go to the sick person and you don't daven for him, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Bikur Choli. You did a good deed, don't get me wrong. But the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, it needs a tefillah element.
Right there where you're with him?
So that's a good question. It is preferable to do it right there with him. If you don't do it with him, you still fulfill the mitzvah as long as you prayed for him.
And so what does that mean exactly? Kind of like if you say that, like, Hashem should cure your wound.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a prayer. When you're blessing him, what's a blessing? It's essentially a prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have a foolish lamb. Your yotze. But the Shulchan Aruch then writes, "Va'akesh alav rachamim, im va'akesh l'madav yachol va'akesh cholash n'tir." So you can speak in any language. It doesn't have to be in Hebrew. So, you know, good to also say in your tefillah in the Mishaberach for him, or in your tefillahs. But any language is fine. And the Moshe Feinstein actually writes Simon Reish Chaf Gim. And it's best to daven near him, because that way it also stir his heart to daven and to reach out to Hashem. If you're davening for him, then he's going to also want to daven, hopefully. Or at least he'll be stirred by the fact that you care about him, how much you reach out to Hashem. So I think 90% of people don't know about this little halacha, and it's a good thing to know. Tefillah is an important element.
Okay.
What I often will do is I'll ask for their names. You know, then you feel like I'm going to keep praying for them. Hopefully I'll actually remember to pray for them. But at least they know that someone's thinking of them. And truth is, it does. It for a few days after I do a Bikur Cholim, I always have more things in my head to pray for. And my refuah shleima, my prayers are much more meaningful. So Bezat Hashem. Now, this is an interesting question. Moshe Feinstein says, based on this idea of prayer, he asked, well, we know that men, certainly, are supposed to be learning Torah with every free second. Anyone could go visit the sick person. So what right do I have to stop learning Torah when I can to go to the hospital and visit this sick person? I think there's a lot of answers you can give to that question. But the one that he gives is, your particular prayer is a specific prayer that can affect this person's health better than somebody else's prayer. So it's unique to you, and if there's a unique mitzvah that only you can do and no one else can do, then that takes precedence over Torah learning. So Moshe Feinstein says, yes, you can stop. You don't have to always. Obviously, there needs to be balance in life. Can't every, right? But it's great to stop learning and go visit the sick person, because your prayer can have a particular effect on that person. In fact, the Gemara says that certain people's prayers, their mazels are aligned, their astrology is aligned, they can actually have a bigger effect on that person. So who knows, maybe you're particularly connected to that person. So I'll add that element. Cool? Awesome. Now, I would also say, I mean, your particular energy might be able to bring up the room, and you might be able to, like Avari Levine was able to do Bikur Cholim in a much deeper, better way than most people. So that also is unique, and that's why it may trump learning Torah sometimes. Okay, so number three, let's just review. What we say in number three, what's the third element of Bikur Cholim that a lot of people forget about?
Get to daven with them.
Davening. Awesome. Pray for it. Number three out of eight. All right. Number four. Make sure you practically meet the needs of the sick person. In other words, it's not only a psychological, emotional being there for the person. There also needs to be a practical element. Now, this probably comes more into the play when you're visiting your family, your dad, or your children. You know, then you're visiting them. Often, you're checking with doctors and checking in. When you just go for a random Friday visit, then it's less likely you're going to be, you know, looking after their physical needs. But nonetheless, the Chofetz Chaim writes a book called Afes Avat Chesed. He didn't only write about Lashon Hara, he wrote a book about loving kindness. And in his third chapter, he talks about Bikur is like a Lashon of Levaker, Bikoret. What's Bikoret? To criticize, to analyze, to assess. So you're supposed to be asking practical questions to make sure that the needs of the sick person are met. What is it? For example, what types of questions should we be asking ourselves when someone's in the hospital?
I feel like it'd be rude to like ask them directly, like
for a random person, for sure, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about like your family.
God forbid.
God forbid. Right. But what type of things do we have to be concerned about if we're in a hospital?
Can I get you anything?
Okay, food, drink,
yeah.
Right? Is that being provided for? What else?
House.
treatment go?
Yeah, I'd ask them, are you comfortable? Is there anything that we need to communicate to the nurses or anything that that you're not getting? Or when's the last time you saw your doctor? Is the medication you're on controlling your pain? Or are they getting you up? You know, did they say anything about, you know, how long we might be here or anything like that?
Right, exactly. All of those questions. And it really makes a huge difference. Unfortunately, there are many people who die from, you know, mistakes that doctors, you know, make. Millions of people every year. And the more care that you put into it, the less likely those mistakes will happen. And also the more care the doctors and the nurses will put in if they see there's a family watching over. And so it really is important to take care of those practical elements and not just assume that it's all taken care of. Anyone who, you know, has been in hospitals knows it's not always... they have a lot of people to take care of, and they make mistakes.
Okay, I can also tell you, I was a medical social worker for a long time.
Oh, so you know probably a lot more about this than
I know a lot about this. And also, I was, I still am, but they haven't called me lately, a volunteer for Ezra Museum.
Sure.
And they call me to go visit people, English-speaking people in hospitals. And I've done a lot of that, and one person that they kept wanting me to go back and visit, I could tell within 10 minutes she was not off.
Right.
She was off. And she just kept going on and on about how they were doing the wrong thing. They
right.
never changed her manager. They never did this. They didn't do this. They didn't give her proper this and that and that. And she talks very intelligently. And if you didn't know any better, you would listen to her and think, oh, we've got to get her some support, some help. They're not doing the right thing here. Because she sounded like she knew what she was talking about. But from what I knew about, well, just about a lot of things, this does not add up. This is, and so sometimes you have to be careful. And they kept wanting me to go back to visit her. And, because nobody else would.
Right.
Nobody else would go to visit her
right.
because she drove everybody crazy.
Yeah. And of course, you all, like everything in life, you need to have the right balance. You know, I've also had times in my life when I just have to say no, because by giving to one person that's too demanding, you're not able to give to yourself and to others who are in your life where you take priority. So every situation has to be assessed, obviously. To give in the right balance. Bezrat Hashem should give us the clarity. Okay, alright, number 5. Sensitivity is required when deciding when and how often the sick person needs to be visited. It's also true in particular with Nichum Avelim, when you're visiting, you know, consoling people. Sometimes they don't want to be visited so often, they want their space, in particular when they're mourning. The Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avelos, Perek Yudalev, "Ein mevakin et achola elam yom shlishi v'hala." We only visit the sick person from 3 days into his illness and on. "V'im kafatz alav acholi v'chbid mevakin matam yad." But if he's very sick, then you immediately visit. "V'ein mevakin et achola lo b'shalosh shaot ishonot b'yom." We don't visit him during the first 3 hours of the day. "V'lo b'shalosh achron," and also not the last 3 hours. Because that's when the nurses used to deal with the
is that self-isolated?
Oh, so great question. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, and it's pretty clear that he's right, that these are examples, but basically they're just trying to tell you to be sensitive whatever the particular situation is. Then the Rambam is a doctor, so he knows what he's talking about, but he's talking about the situation 600 years ago. The truth is, he's actually quoting Gemara, which mentions first that concept, but I don't believe nowadays it's necessarily like that. It means
even the don't visit within the first 3 days,
go to a Shari Tzedek and ask them. No, yeah, even that, exactly. Yeah, it depends on the medical situation.
Yeah.
And depends on the particular scenario. Every situation is different. It's just giving you examples of sensitivity, of things you should be looking out for. Maybe in the beginning don't visit, wait, are they ready to have visitors, or the visit hours, like
if somebody has like a minor surgery, they'll probably be out.
Exactly. So this is just meant to give us what to think about. But really, every situation, think about it and analyze it. been working lochem and cholim. Ayin lochol ayin. If someone has intestinal, and they'll be embarrassed when that you walk in. So also, we don't visit him. Okay, so like the Rambam is saying, basically, be sensitive. And in fact, that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. This is a real halacha to think before we act. Again, I think that's pretty intuitive. Nonetheless, a lot of people aren't thinking about that, you know. And it's something I have to be, when I do like a random Friday visit, not everyone wants to, you know, sing and dance and have long conversations. They kind of feel it out. And some
if
people
they're really sick, though, it takes energy from them just for you to be there for very long.
Of course.
Even if you're just there in the room, or you're just making, even if you're just making like conversation or sure. something, it wears them out.
Sure.
Even if they don't have to talk to you.
So it takes a lot of sensitivity and social skills to know. Some things it seems are pretty universally sweet. You know, when people come in and they sing a song for 2 minutes, it seems to lift the spirits up. People seem to like that, and then show them. And then you see the people that are like, love it and want a conversation. And most people, great, Shalom Yisrael. You know, you did your job, and I want to go on with my life. So that's when I'm talking about, you know, pop and drop in types of visits. It's very different. You know, what I've found is eventually, if you go to these things, you form relationships with people. And eventually, you know, when there's a relationship, they more often want to have a conversation and things like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Good. Final 2 points. This happens everywhere, but also in our hospitals here in Israel. What about Gentiles? What about the Arab chevra in the hospital? Do we visit them? Do we ignore them? Is there a mitzvah to visit non-Jews? What do you guys think? Survey says...
Yes, it takes lesser importance compared to...
Correct. There is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. The Gemara says, Mipnei Darchei Shalom. The question is, how do we understand that? Is it just to make peace, or is there a value of shalom, of peace in extending by visiting them? I prefer the second interpretation, that there's actually a value of peace. But either way, it's not on the same degree as visiting your brothers. But there is a mitzvah to visit non-Jews too. Especially if you're going in and there's a Jewish guy there and then you ignore the non-Jewish person, I think it would be a chilul Hashem. I think it would reflect very negative.
That's an opportunity for a kiddush Hashem.
Exactly. So, and I think it really is. I think it really is. So that's important. And again, Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Shin Lam and Hey, Halacha Tes, Mevakrim Chole, even idol worshippers in his words. We visit everyone. Okay. Actually, last two. This, I don't think is... Okay, interesting. Where do we learn the concept of visiting the sick being a mitzvah from?
Avram.
Oh! Where's the story? Where Avram? Is it from Avram or is it from... Well, it is Avram, but who visited Avram? Not who is he visiting. Who visited him? So it is Avram, but if you think about it, it's Hashem. Hashem visited Avram. What am I talking about? It says, Vayira Elav Hashem. And God appeared to him, Be'elune Mamre. It's right after the story with the angels. Right after the Brit Milah. So Rashi says, what does it mean, God appeared to him? It says Rashi, based on the Gemara in Sota, Levaker Techola. God was visiting the sick person. God was visiting Avram Avinu. So we learn out from Emeshio Dea, imitating God. If God can visit a sick person, i.e. Avram Avinu, then we too are obligated to visit a sick person. So that's, I just think, amazing that we're emulating God. We're getting close to God. How do we get close to God? By being like Him. And there's two actual halachic ramifications of this concept. One is the concept that we should never say, He's not on my level. If Hashem can visit a lonely human being, whatever that means, we can visit anyone. Take your time. And two is an interesting halacha mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. You're not supposed to sit on the same level as a sick person. You should be lower than him. Because the Gemara says that God's presence is by the sick person. There's a special degree of Shechina. There's like the Kotel is that special place of tefillah. Maybe it's another reason to daven in the room itself. So there's a special degree of Shechina by the head of a sick person. And so you don't sit on the same level as him. So that's a fascinating halacha that a lot of people don't know. Shum shum. All right. And finally, not that this is motivating us at all, but it's good to know in any case. The Gemara does say that one who visits the sick gets all sorts of perk benefits. So first, the Gemara in the Daran Daf Mem of Nal says, "Amarav kum barkat cholat nitul midinat ganem." Get saved from hell. I don't know exactly what that means, but apparently, in the next world, you know, get pulled out of there. If we did this mitzvah of pikur choli, I don't know. Maybe it's midah keneged midah. We help somebody pull them up, so God pulls us up. In addition, the Gemara then goes on. What about baal mazeh? It says, yeah, in this world too. Hashem yishmareu v'chayachyeu, guard over you, give you life, osher, and joy. The shmer mitzahara, you won't have as many struggles with your desires. V'chayel min yisurim, you won't have pains as much, obviously. And you won't have people as many enemies. And it goes on and on and on. Talk about practical blessings that will come into your life in the zchut of this mitzvah of Bikur Chol. In addition to the obvious psychological benefit, I would say there's two psychological benefits of going to visit the sick, at least. Maybe three. What are the psychological benefits for you, not for them, of visiting the sick?
Feel good about yourself.
You feel good about yourself.
Yeah, it could take away 1/60th of your own issues that are going on because you get outside of yourself.
Nachon, just giving helps you focus on helping others and not in your own issues, and you feel good about yourself. Like I was talking about the first year, how when you give away $5, you get more joy than when you take that $5 in these studies. When I give people a watermelon, I get more pleasure than if I eat the watermelon myself. So if I'm giving, I'm enjoying it. And I also think there's an element of appreciation of my life. The fact that I'm not sick.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. My asher yatzar after I go to, after the hospital is always on a very different level, you know. After really appreciating, you know, what I got. And we constantly need to remind our brain to be happy for the blessings like health. So going to the hospital once in a while is a beautiful way to appreciate the blessings of our body.
Oh, yes, the truth. Yeah. Sometimes you're so wrapped up in your own life, you don't really understand what so many people are going through, the hardships and the stress and the worry and the upset and the emotional costs and everything else, pain, worrying about their future with their health, worrying about their life, worrying what's going to happen to their family if when they die. You don't realize how much of that is going on in the world if you don't take the time to stop.
Amen. So Bezrat Hashem, you should heal all the sick. It should be a month of healing, and we should be zaycha to heal the world a little bit. Bezrat Hashem. Bezrat Hashem. Okay, so that's Adkan the